You can support this podcast on patreon.com/firstpawmedia.
Next up on the rock and roller tour across America is the Knotfest Roadshow at the Climate Change Arena in Seattle, Washington. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Robert.
And we are the Rockin' Coasters Podcast. Here we share our love of music and roller coasters on epic trips across the country.
Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
We arrived in Seattle very early after a rough 6:30 a.m. flight from Minneapolis on Sun Country Airlines. This was our first time on Sun Country, and so I'm not going to recommend it. It is one of the many low-cost airlines, and you feel it as soon as you sit down. Actually, we felt it as soon as we arrived at the gate. We landed at 9, rented a car from Budget, and thankfully got an early check-in over at the Hilton Garden Inn near the airport. It is where we always stay, and they are always extremely helpful. We hung out for a couple of hours and got some work done before we headed into town. We arrived around 3 and found out that Robert had bought tickets for parking for an event almost a month later on Ticketmaster, but we quickly found a garage right across the street from the arena and headed to grab some food and check out the scene. Before food, we hung out at the KEXP gathering space, which is awesome. You should check it out if you haven't before when you're in Seattle. Robert had an espresso old fashioned, and I had an orange creamsicle drink. I bet we spent more than an hour there before we went to Agave Cocina, which is excellent. Robert even went out of his comfort zone and ordered enchiladas for the first time ever. After dinner, we headed over to stand in line and found out that we were in the wrong one. Of course, Robert, being a guy, always refuses to ask for any type of directions, so we moved in line just as the doors were opening. Robert remarked that it was not your typical looking rock show crowd. Slipknot affectionately calls their fans maggots, and many embraced that fully. This was our second visit to the new Climate Change Arena in Seattle, Washington. The first time was, of course, to see a Kraken hockey game on Robert's 51st birthday, and this time for Knotfest, featuring Horror, Cypress Hill, and Slipknot. I will argue that we had the best seats in the house, except down on the floor, but we leave mosh pits to the festivals, and even then, we are so old that we buy VIP passes. We were in section 120, which is the fancy section of the Climate Pledge Arena with its own elevator and food vendors. We grabbed a couple slices of pizza and headed in. Our seats were in the first row of the section, so no lumberjacks standing in front of me, and there was even a side table for Robert to set his junk on. We waited for about an hour before the lights went down.
First up was Horror. Whoa is all I can say. Horror sounds to me like a mashup of Rage Against the Machine and Fever 333, but on a whole nother level. The three-piece did not disappoint. They quickly let you know that their name is Horror, not H-O-99 or anything like that. While it was tough to understand a lot of their lyrics, they did play Firefly Family, which of course is an ode to Rob Zombie's The Devil's Rejects, Speak of the Devil, Lower Than Scum, and Bite My Face. It was interesting because the drummer looked like he belonged in Weezer, and all of their sounds, other than the drums, came from one of the guys playing the keyboards. Cypress Hill was up next, and they brought down the house. DJ Lord killed it with a long set of song after song on the kit, and I mentioned to Michelle, this guy is by far the best DJ I have ever seen. Sadly, Sendog missed the show because of a medical issue, but Lord, Be Real, and Eric Bobo did not miss a beat. This is our second time seeing these guys after last year's Louder Than Life.
All right, well, hold on a minute, Robert. You know, Dr. Green Thumb and Cypress Hill have benefited more from the legalization of marijuana than probably anyone else in America. Their entire persona is based on cannabis, but, you know, I'm not hating. Surprisingly, Robert and I knew almost every song in the set. Of course, they played all their hits, including I Wanna Get High, Hits from the Bong, Sound of the Police, Throw Your Set in the Air, Kill a Man, Rock Superstar, and Insane in the Brain. Not to mention, Robert, these dudes are pretty much our age anyhow. So, it took a bit for the stage to be set up for Slipknot, but when the curtain dropped, oh my God, we were in for 2 hours of some of the most intense music I have ever heard in my life. This is our second time seeing Slipknot, and I am a huge Corey Taylor fan, including his solo stuff and Stone Sour, but nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, prepares you for a Slipknot experience. It's like a steampunk symphony, and Corey Taylor is like a heavy metal Las Vegas lounge singer. This is the loudest concert I have ever been to. Robert said the same thing, and he's been to literally hundreds of concerts in his life.
First off, a Slipknot show is visceral. It is in your face, it gets in your bones, and makes you feel truly alive. This is what I think bands like Kiss, Zombie, and Alice Cooper want to do in terms of a stage show, but this is on a whole nother level. Leading into Slipknot's performance were two classics to truly set the tone. AC/DC's For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, and Billy Joe Spears' Get Behind Me, Satan, and Push. The later was a little off-putting, but the eeriness and the hushed tones that fell over the crowd built up the tension as we waited for the Slipknot-adorned stage curtain to both literally and figuratively drop.
I don't think that that was eerie, actually. I think that the Get Behind Me, Satan, and Push is pretty much classic what they're trying to portray, Robert. It certainly is Slipknot's tour, and they had an epic 20-song set list that spanned decades of their careers. While Robert and I may be getting older, I must admit when I heard songs like Wait and Bleed, Before I Forget, and Duality, it brought me back to the earliest days of meeting Robert and driving around in Colorado with our kids in the back seat. I remember it like it was yesterday. Nicole, as young as 3, rocking out to Slipknot with her sippy cup in her car seat while most kids were watching Blue's Clues. Now, we have all aged some time since then, but the band has not missed a beat. Their stage performance was top-notch. Left to right, up and down, there were screens everywhere. I'm a huge fan of visual art during shows. But this gives attendees imagery to help their minds go exploring while absorbing the music and atmosphere. This gives each attendee a unique experience they can look back on and relive. Speaking of attendees, I couldn't help but notice the ever-increasing range of age of concertgoers. It's a true feat to build such a fan base that you can continue to draw in those who started following you 20 plus years ago and attract new, younger fans at the same time.
Corey hushed the crowd and said that they were playing Snuff for the first time on this tour in more than a decade. It immediately brought me back to the video we saw of some old dude covering the song on YouTube in the early days of the pandemic. They also played my favorite song by them, Psychosocial, and Corey introduced new music with Chapeltown Rag. He promised new music later this summer. We shall see.
There's an old saying that I'm sure you have heard. If it's too loud, you're too old. Well, I guess I'm not dead yet. Slipknot brought the heat, literally. There were pyrotechnics throughout a lot of their songs, fireballs shooting across the stage from one side to the other, giant flames coming straight up out towards the crowd, and even at times a torch attached to bassist Alex V-Man Venturella's instrument while hanging out at the very top and center of the enormous stage. One of Robert's favorite guitarists, Jim Root, absolutely killed it, and the percussion dudes were literally everywhere on stage. There was so much going on. If you don't stop and look around, you just might miss it. That may have been the entire point. The whole festival lasted about 5 hours, and our ears were still ringing much into the next day. The following day, Robert and I bought a new car, a 2020 Toyota RAV4 from Enterprise Car Sales, that we are leaving parked in Seattle for 2 months until we come down and kick off a massive leg of the rock and roller tour across America, and we hope to broadcast from the road every day. We hope you like the format of the new show. This is how we intend to cover events in the future on this podcast. We want to share our thoughts, our experiences, places to eat, and places to see as you hit up your favorite rock shows and theme parks across America. One last thing. Did you know the single best thing you can do for our show is to tell your friends and family how you listen? Who knows? They might just become a rabid listener just like you. And hey, if you really want to show the love, head on over to patreon.com/firstpawmedia and become a patron. I'm Michelle Forto for First Paw Media. See you next time.